Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
W229HE Atlanta, the most listened to sports station in the South. WCNN North Atlanta, a Dickey Broadcasting station. The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio. Thanks so much for making us a part of your Tuesday. With you till 6 o'clock on the FAN. So you got a couple of options. You're listening to us for the first time. You're like, Matt, the staticky AM, what's the problem? I don't know.
680, 93.7.
Right. So you got that option at 680 or 93.7.
93.7
right.
FM.
You got that one. And you've also got the 680 The Fan mobile app. We steam all over that one worldwide.
Steaming on the Fan app.
Nobody says it better than DT. He really paints us the picture. We're with you till 6, and then you're going to get 680 Rewind, which is the best portions of the 680 The Fan broadcasting day, more like that. It starts in the mornings with the locker room, 6 to 10. Then it carries on to the Buck Belue Show for an hour of sports power. And then it's Cellini and Domino, or Domino and Cellini, depending on their moods.
Big Nick and Jersey Boy.
Them too. 11 to 2, and then Chuck and Chernoff every afternoon. Tonight you'll get Braves baseball, West Coast style, 9:40. First pitch again from Seattle. The 4 o'clock hour of our show is presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows. Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They're Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate. Chuck's got a college football today coming up around the corner. What can we look forward to?
A certain four-letter word, at least in the South, may turn downright evil.
No more. Is that it?
No, that's
it. It was
normally
good.
There's a pause. You weren't wrong to let it linger.
Before we get into a Georgia discussion, let's get a top story. This news has excited our producer, Brian Gephardt. I haven't seen him this excited with this much pep in his step in a while. Dave & Buster's announced it will allow customers to begin betting on arcade games. That's our top story.
Peer-to-peer wagering.
So Dave & Buster's will begin offering loyalty members the ability to bet on its games. You have to be 18 or older. You have to place real money wagers on arcade games. The technology is supposed to be available come in the next couple of months. Customers can make friendly $5 wagers as opposed to angry. $5 wagers on the Hot Shots basketball game, that's Papa Shot, or Ski Ball, or any of the games in the gaming arena. You whack-a-mole, and you can bet it.
You can't fat stack somebody by betting 10 or 15.
Oh, big
$5, ball. Okay? $5.
We're not going to play Big Bang, Take
this
Little
Bang.
Big, yeah. Although, can you use the reloaded Dave & Buster's card, you know, when you put the credits on it? Can we start gambling those? The only problem, I took my kid to a Dave & Buster's recently. I need those games to work a little bit more. Far too many times when you put the card in, the credit doesn't work, you go to find somebody, you know, we put the claw game on, and I'm expecting to try to grab.
I want a lobster harmonica.
And I can't because it took my credit and I can't do anything with it. Now you go to tell the guy, and he's got to come look at it, and they go, it's a lot of
work. And he's a little skeptical. He's like, wait a minute, this guy in his mid-40s works a job. He's probably trying to beat me out of $2 out here. I'm skeptical, so I'm 16, and I'm going to give him the stink eye.
That's right. Then you know where you end up? You end up in that redemption center at the end of it, because I need more crap in my house. My kid walked away with a 6-foot inflatable bat. Why do I need that? What are we going to do with a 6-foot inflatable bat?
It could have been like the 4-foot inflatable boa. You know, so
I mean, the funnest part of any of those places, if you look on the top shelf where they have a few of the good items, the PlayStation, you know, you've got, I don't know, whatever it might be. It's like 175,000 tickets that if you start doing the math, to buy the PlayStation would cost you $411,000.
If you had 10 grand worth of those ski balls and were just dropping them in the $1,000 point thing.
It's just an empty box. There's no PS3 in there.
Okay.
PS5.
Right, what year is this, brother? This is a PS3. Yeah. No, that one's not there, but you go to the back and get one.
No.
You're telling me it doesn't exist?
No.
I will call you
They're
on that.
They're counting on no one actually getting
Bingo.
That number. Like that's when they put the Ferrari up there at Six Flags, and if you hit in the little milk jug, then you get the Ferrari.
Here's where you're all wrong. And Gephardt, you need to work on this for unfinished business. There is a kid somewhere that has gone to one of these places since he was 4 years old, and at 15, he finally redeemed his thing, and he got a Chevy. Or whatever their top of the shelf prize was. Some kid somewhere has done it.
I want a Harrier jet.
And the place, they did it like a big Ed McMahon check, yes. And they presented it to him. That happened somewhere, I guarantee. All right, back to business. So I don't know how much you've been paying attention to the aftermath of the draft from the Michigan kids that were drafted. So going into the draft, there was all this like Michigan brouhaha, this loud Michigan Wolverine fan base of like, we're going to break Georgia's record. Mm-hmm. We are going to get 16 kids drafted to break Georgia's 21 record of 15 kids drafted. We went undefeated. We're the best team of all time. So that was going to be the last like link in the chain for the Michigan fan to go, we're better than 22 Georgia. We're better than 21 Georgia. And here's how it's going to happen. We went undefeated and we're going to have this play out. Well, it didn't exactly work that way because when it was all said and done, Michigan had a total of 13 players drafted. Very impressive,
yep,
right? Very good.
Yep.
Georgia had 15, which remains the all-time record.
That was 2 years ago. Yeah.
Right. Here's the difference. Michigan only had one first rounder. Georgia had 5 in the 2021 draft.
Were they all on defense, too?
Sounds right.
Maybe.
Georgia had no seventh rounders. Michigan had 4 guys who went in the seventh round. I'm not diminishing being drafted. That's a very big deal. But in the comp of Georgia 2021 to Michigan, Georgia had 2 more players, 4 more first-rounders, no seventh-round picks, and Michigan had 4 of them. What are we doing? And I'm not being dismissive of Michigan. You do know Georgia would have beaten you about the head and neck. Like, if you give me the Georgia 21 or 22, and frankly, I even think the 23 team would have beaten Michigan in any of those years. In fact, we saw them beat Michigan in one of those years in the Orange Bowl. Like, I'm sorry. I heard some of this and read some of this on social media. If anybody is just thinking Michigan was better than those Georgia teams, you're a Wolverine fan and you're entitled to your opinion. The rest of the world thinks you're nuts.
I would disagree with that evaluation if you have Michigan fans saying, it shows and we were just as good. You weren't just as good. You're great. Really, 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 really an awesome team. You weren't as good as that Georgia team in my estimation. I'll say as well, if I work for the Chargers, Vikings, Bears, Jets, Jags, and we have the 243rd pick, if I look on our board and we're supposed to take the defensive end out of Western Ontario University or there's one from Michigan, I'm taking the Michigan kid. I just am. Like, in the seventh round?
I totally agree.
That's just a differentiator. That you're like, Ferris State or I'm taking Michigan.
When the Falcons took Jace McClellan, I was like, all right, take the Bama back.
I'll take the Bama back.
If I'm late in the draft, absolutely right. I'm going to take a power player from a power five school. But let me go back.
So the seventh round picks, there's a little context
sure.
even
yeah.
packing on those at the end.
But let me bring up a point that Michigan fans know, too, right? They have to. The best thing that ever happened to Michigan is Georgia losing to Bama. Not saying Michigan couldn't beat Georgia, but I think Georgia would have been a decent-sized favorite over Michigan, and I think Georgia would have beaten Michigan. It's not an insult towards Michigan. I think Georgia was that good, but for whatever reason, that Alabama kryptonite got in their way again, and Nick Saban found a way to beat Kirby Smart. And I'm not going to give you the full in-depth breakdown of this, and what I'm going to tell you is not the end-all, be-all way to do it, but do it this way. Like this 23 version of Georgia-Michigan, as much as I like J.J. McCarthy, I would take Carson Beck over him. So I think Georgia was better at quarterback. I think Georgia was better at head coach. I think Georgia had a much deeper and better roster than Michigan. And that's not an insult toward Michigan. It's a compliment towards Kirby and to Carson, as good as I think that the quarterback combo, head coach combo was at Michigan.
saying you think that that Michigan team would lose to that Georgia team is not any sort of insult at all. They would have lost to a great opponent if that happened. The only angle I would say for Michigan that would really worry me is tackle to tackle, both sides of the ball. Like, they were really, really, really stout,
sure,
and big, burly man ball on the line of scrimmage, and they were better than Georgia.
I don't know that. No. I don't know that.
Just an opinion, just in those spots.
Here's the other part of this that needs to be said. What that 21 Georgia team did, putting 15 kids into the pros, if I just stopped there, but five first-rounders, that's an elite level of talent that's silly.
Was when Lewis Sane at the very end? He was the one that made it five.
Packers,
I'm trying to remember.
Or something,
yeah,
maybe. Sounds right. But again, no seventh rounders.
No.
You just had these all go in, you know, big important spots in the draft. And again, it was a good year for Michigan. It was just not the roster strength, in my opinion, of Georgia. And that's okay.
And again, saying that it wasn't as great a draft haul as 15 and five first rounders, that's not any sort of negative, insult, backhanded anything. That's saying maybe you finished second to that Georgia class.
Speaking of Georgia, we at Atlanta Sports Trips are going to be seeing the Dogs on the road a couple of times during the 2024 season, and we'd love to have you join us. If you go to atlsportstrips.com, you will see two completed full packages of our trip to Austin, Texas, which we have opened a few more rooms up to join us in Austin for the Dogs matchup against the Longhorns. Same thing with Georgia in Tuscaloosa. We might have a little pivot on that trip, too, that we'll be telling you about in coming days.
That Austin thing just got more attractive. Did you see who booked?
Who?
Sting is putting on a concert that night.
It's going to be the weekend's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Between F1 and all the music and everything that's going on. We also, if you already have travel plans, have tailgate only plus tailgate and Friday night party ticket combo options. So if you're going anyway, we'd love to have you for our Friday night and our Saturday 4-hour tailgate. DJ, all food and drink included, DJ, TVs all around, the whole thing. It's
going to
be a blast.
If you're not booked, you're staying in San Antonio now.
Probably.
I mean, yeah.
But again, drive the 45 minutes in. Be a part of our tailgate and the Friday night fun. You could book any or all of that. Go to atlsportstrips.com. That's atlsportstrips.com.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today.
Got the beta king.
Presented by Roof It Forward. When your roof needs to be repaired or replaced, call the roofing company that supports Camp Sunshine. Together, we can roof it forward.
All right, I said a certain four-letter word, at least in the South, that's going to go downright evil, especially if you F them at college football. I was raised here. I've lived here all my life. I even had an uncle threw bags at Eastern for about 25 years. So we had a little bit of union in our life. But union typically is a four-letter word here. What are y'all doing down here trying to organize? I mean, you must be from the North. Have you seen where union has taken foot in college football?
Mm.
At the invitation of head coach Trent Dilfer, about 2 weeks ago, the UAB Blazers brought in all their scholarship players. They sat down for a presentation from athletes.org. There are just a myriad companies that are trying to be the first, like basically the UAW for college athletes. And Trent Dilfer, he's a guy that says, look what all the player association did for me, so I want some of this for my kids. He brings them in. I'm not going to say the veracity of this was off. I'm going to say there were adults in the room who were supposed to put on the kind of presentation that would get an 18 to 22-year-old to sign up. Every kid on the UAB team is now a member of the Players Association, athletes.org, and it is going to function. One of these is going to separate. It may be like Sirius. Do you remember, Matt, back in the day there was also XM?
Oh, yeah.
And then they merged.
Yep.
Maybe that's what happens, but one of these is going to funnel down. Maybe it's athletes. If you want to know the difference that the presentation can make when you get like half a dozen grown folk in a room with a PowerPoint and, you know, tchotchkes and here's a pen that has our company name on it. Jacob Zeno, UAB quarterback. This was the most recent quote from Jacob Zeno.
Relation to Mark?
Lance. Before meeting athletes.org. On the field, that's going to take care of itself. But preparing off the field with a classroom, film study, the playbook, that makes on-the-field play easier for me. All right, this is Jacob Zeno walking out of that meeting. Quote, we've been cheated out of money and decisions are being made behind our back. It's not fair because we do so much for the sport, the school, and the conference, end quote. This is just the start. There are going to be other teams, and I'm telling you, I mentioned this a couple of months ago for some reason. I was a pretty, I think, clear-thinking college student, but I was also a college-age student. I signed up for a credit card because they offered me a Pepsi T-shirt and a 2-liter bottle.
That's
okay,
good reason. What was the interest rate? I don't know.
I'm a college 2-liter bottle and a T-shirt. I'll sign up for a credit card.
21%, but I got a drink.
They don't do that at AARP meetings because they would look at him and go, "Are you out of your like Berkshire Hathaway?" They're not saying, "Give you a 2-liter, sign up for a credit card." They do it with 18 to 22 year olds. So I'm telling you, you get somebody come in that is prepped with this presentation. Every last kid in that room is going to go, "Hell yeah, we've been cheated. Where do I sign up?" And so that's what's already happened.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, presented by Roof It Forward on the College Football Voice of the South, The Fan.
All right, a couple of things we need to cover here. On this date in 1986, Dale Murphy had a consecutive game played streak at 675 that was in jeopardy. Now, if you're not old enough to remember, here's why. He had to get 9 stitches in his right hand because going to catch a ball, he ran into the Braves outfield wall, which was made of plexiglass. Who in the hell? I remember as a kid wondering, Mom wouldn't let me play near the kitchen window, but the Braves outfielders would bang into a plexiglass wall. He cut open the hand, needed 9 stitches, and the next night he wasn't going to play, so the streak was going to end. Instead, he pinch hits against Dwight Gooden, hits a home run in the bottom of the 5th, keeps the streak intact, with 9 stitches in his hand. If it wasn't Atlanta, that would be an outrageous story everywhere.
I told the story also when I was growing up. They had an outfielder about 2 months one year named Brian Asselstein. Oh, he was a rookie, and he was having a really good start to the season. He was going against the wall to catch a fly ball. They had exposed chain link fence that his cleat got caught in. And I was a fourth grader going, that doesn't seem to make sense to me. They left it there for years.
How dumb. We had a chain link fence and then a plexiglass fence. Now, eventually, they went with that hard blue wall.
Yeah, they did.
But by 91, maybe John Sherrills came in, Ed Mangan, something. They finally put padding on that wall in 19. The stadium had been open 25 years. They finally put a padded wall up.
And you've got every Chicago Cubs outfielder going, dude, brick wall, hold my beer.
I'm fine. At least they had ivy. It's something special about Chicago. We had plexiglass. Your best outfielder tore his hand up.
That happened.
Do you have any interest in going in the Las Vegas Raiders team cruise? They're offering their fans starting in 2025 a Raiders fan cruise, 7-night trip from LA to the Mexican Riviera. You'll get open bar, mini golf, casino, autograph sessions, alumni dining, alumni including Reggie Kinlaw, Jacoby Ford, Willie Galton, others. Rooms range from $2,400 to $16,000.
I'll hang out with Willie Galt. That'd be fun. Why am I going to leave Vegas? Like, how was the pitch? We got a casino on board.
So this
We've got mini golf.
This is for what my grandmother used to use the term for, out the cockers, for the old folks. That's what that one was. Because you're right. I don't think there's going to be a bunch of 22-year-olds, although I'll give Raider fan credit. What is it, Raider Nation?
Yeah.
It's pretty insane. They're for a team that hasn't given them much reason to celebrate in a long time, they follow them from Oakland to L.A., back to Oakland, out of Vegas. So maybe there will be. And you know what they'll do on this cruise? The same thing they do in the stands on Sundays. They'll beat the hell out of each other on a boat. Right. If you want to see fights, watch Raider fans.
Tim Manoa better have some great stories if I'm going to leave Las Vegas. Like, I can take a roller coaster across the top of a hotel in Las Vegas, and you're telling me I got mini golf?
Mini golf and open bar.
And open bar, because in Vegas, hard to find a drink.
I'm sorry, is Reggie Kinlaw there in Vegas?
Exactly.
Now, the one thing I will say is the Raider fan's not really in Vegas. The Vegas football fan's in Vegas. The Raider fan's in Oakland. So maybe he gets on the boat. What does he have in Oakland? Nothing. In this case, now he's got an open bar, mini golf, casino.
Mervin Fernandez, everybody. Give it up for Swervin' Mervin.
Yeah, they didn't mention karaoke up on the Lido deck. Like, that's another call to action. And
so I can sing Islands in the Stream with Roger Craig.
That could happen on a Wednesday night. Or maybe when you're, you know, at the buffet. I mean, who knows who you're going to run into? There's Archell. Is he alive?
I think he might have passed. I don't
check
I don't
on Archell's status if he's
sad
dead.
Sad story.
Dang it. I hate when I'm
Hey, Matt, me and Jay Schrader are going to mini golf. Want to come?
Oh, he's alive. What about Lincoln Kennedy? You'll see him at the buffet.
Car accident?
No, he's alive, we just said.
Lincoln
may
be, when did he die?
Lincoln may be working on the ship.
That's horrible. Link played a long time.
In the Arena League.
He played here and with the
Rays. And then he played in the Arena League because he needed to play in the Arena League.
All right. Over under on years that Link played in the NFL. I'm going to say 6.5.
I'll say over 6.5.
Yeah.
And then why? Okay. If it's over 6.5, new question. Why was he playing for the Tampa Bay Storm?
Love of the game.
the indoor war. He just couldn't get enough.
It's like, I want to keep playing. I love this game so much, I don't want to leave it. Then he did some radio. He did some media.
I want to play on an offensive line where there's only three players and I might have to go out and catch passes.
What would the Falcons fan crews look like?
60% populated.
Oh, God. Who's on there, the alumni?
They give everybody the Lido deck flag so it looks fuller.
The Rise Up Cruise. Atlanta Sports Trips is going to put
William
it on.
William Andrews. He'll be there.
So Bill Andrews show. Is there. Is Finn on the boat?
I am.
Of course, Finneran's there.
Brian Finneran. Right.
Open bar. Yeah, Finn's there.
Mud Duck.
Yeah, Todd McClure will be there.
What about Brookings?
No. Jarius Norwood. He's one of our friends now.
Jarius would be there?
He was on our cameo contest.
What about Jam?
No. No.
Matt Ryan?
Jam keeps it. Really? He's going to take off a week from his broadcast.
He's getting actually paid.
No, we're doing this in the summer.
Oh, okay.
We're not doing this during the football season, Dopey.
Oh, so he can go to Honduras with us.
We're not going out. We can go to Honduras if we'd like. I was thinking we'd do a Bahamas cruise. Falcons fan cruise to the Bahamas. We check out to Nassau. We do Perfect Day at Coco Cay.
Hey, Matt Ryan, we're going to Waterworld over at Atlanta. You want to go?
All right, if Matt won't go, what about Joey Harrington?
He's available.
Okay, so Falcon Fan Cruise 2025 in the works.
Okay, that is got to be the worst idea tomorrow.
I've got that free trip to Jamaica, man.
We're populating the Falcons Fan Cruise.
With the alumni?
Who's on the Falcon Fan Cruise?
All right, think about that for tomorrow. 24-hour tease.
We'll have a show tomorrow.
Oh, it's going to have to wait till Thursday.
Let that percolate.
All right, so 2 days. Braves play tomorrow. Dang it. All right, coming up next, we're going to find out if the Falcons actually do care about winning football games.
I don't care about winning football games.
Well, I'm thinking about it. Let's book Joy Taylor on the show so we can just apologize and we can let her go.
Right now.
She's right. We were wrong. We're not going to play in her face. We need to get her on and apologize to Joy.
You don't care about winning games in Atlanta. You don't.
We'll talk about it next. I didn't feel like DT was really brokenhearted.
He's not going to be back.
The Kawhi Leonard news. Like you said it with a smirk. And so, here's the news. The Clippers are clearly better without Kawhi. They've won these games without him. He's been in the lineup. They've lost two games with him. Without him, they've won two games. Chuck, you're good. Nothing to worry
plans.
About.
I really think I have a chance to win this.
I like our Clippers insider, Chuck Oliver, on
really,
this.
Really, really like this.
How crappy. I don't want to get on a tangent about the NBA, but how crappy are the second round of the playoffs in the East going to look like? We could get Pacers-Knicks. Boston playing the winner of Orlando-Cleveland. P.U. Meanwhile, the West, all the fun's happening in the West. That's where all the cool kids are hanging out.
Mm-hmm. Like the Clippers.
Like the Clippers.
West Side.
Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio.
West Side till I die.
Thanks, Chuck. We're on the fan. That's FM at 93.7 and AM and at 680. Of course, the 680, the fan mobile app. Braves tonight. Seattle, 940. You want that app? You want Ben in your ear? You want to have him just cuddled up to you there in bed late night? That's how you do it tonight, listening.
Oh, man.
That's right. Speaking of the Braves, good news for Braves fans all over the state of Georgia. You all can now be a part of the Braves 50-50 raffle. The Atlanta Braves Foundation 50-50 raffle can happen not just at Truist Park, but all over the state. For the first time ever, jackpots are going to be open during Braves home and road series games throughout the season. So if you're at Truist Park, you can still do it. But if you're listening anywhere in Georgia, you can take part now. One lucky winner is going to take home 50% of the total jackpot. The other 50 is going to go to the Atlanta Braves Foundation. So enter at Truist when you're at a game or online. Just keep in mind, if you enter online, you must be in the state of Georgia at the time of entry. For complete rules and details and to purchase your 50-50 raffle tickets online, go to Braves.com/50-50 or visit the MLB ballpark app while in the state of Georgia. All right, coming up in 5 minutes. The worst result from baseball's most useless metric was on full display again last night. If you stayed up, you saw it. If not, hang late night.
That's what I do.
We'll give you all the deets.
You don't have to watch because I do.
You didn't doze at all last night?
I did.
Oh, good. I did. I felt restless. Like, I am so, like, I'm on the couch.
It's on again in the morning. It's easy.
I know, but it's, like, here I am. I'm only 46. I'm, you know, I've only got 3 kids. I've only got 14 jobs. I should be able to stay up to watch these games in April, and there I am.
I would think that, like, when you get past, like, the 9:30, does your house kind of calm back down?
It does.
So it gets quiet? And
I was downstairs by myself in the rumpus room. Everybody was out cold. Everybody's asleep. It was me and Bruno. And, see, the problem is when Bruno snuggles up to me, that's my cat.
He
starts purring, he's like, that's it. I'm out. And that doesn't help me. So,
did you say the rumpus room?
Well, it's not a, it's a fun word. And we're in the Florida room. We're in the front room.
It's next to the alumni.
We were in the
playroom.
We were in the TV room. It used to be a playroom, but the kids are too old. Now it became my
media room.
Yeah, became my room. So I was in there, me and Bruno and Cookies.
Oh, yeah. At his age, the playroom is that box you keep under the bed.
It's very different. Very different set of circumstances. All right. We're going to find out if the Falcons actually do care about winning some football games. Now that the draft is behind us, it's starting to look like we can focus on the free agent market again. And there are some names that I brought up to everyone before the draft. I said, when the draft is over, let's see who starts calling these players.
They all got warts.
But they do. They have age. They have some injury. But they're also probably upgrades over what you have in some spots. And I will mention to the class, the Falcons need to, if they're going to sign anybody, open up money. Just the way it is. They have about five and change left to sign their free agent class. They're going to have to redo some contracts. That means a Lindstrom redo. That could mean a Grady redo. That could mean a Bates. You know, you get the idea. But you tell me what you think about some of these names. If we all agree the Falcons maybe have the worst edge group again in the league, I hope the rookies come in and play well, but I can't count on a second-round tackle or a third-round end. I just can't. So what do you think about these names? There's a free agent by the name of Bud Dupree.
Yeah, he was here last year.
Oh, yeah. We had him. Okay. Yeah. So there's also a Salais Campbell.
I think it's Calais.
Oh, he's there, too.
Taller fella.
Oh, well. All right. You're not going to be impressed with the rest of the edge group, then. Because
I like Calais too much. That's the issue. Like, I'm a little too into Calais.
Somebody named Michael Dana, who was a Chiefs 26-year-old pass rusher, had 6.5 sacks a year ago. Why wouldn't the Chiefs want him back? I'm like, give me that guy. I don't even know who he is. Then I read the name of somebody named Tyus Bowser, who's still available. Who is that? He's still one of projected of the best edge rushers. And old Emmanuel Ogba, along with Bud Dupree and Calais. That's what's left on the edge market. So have fun with that.
There is a chance also that Calais is available because Calais is unsigned because Calais hasn't decided if he wants to play next year.
Totally,
like, if Calais tells his agent, all right, put the word out, he'll have 15 offers in 10 minutes. Like, somebody will, from starter to come in and play a wave, or if you want a ring shop, we need a veteran, we'll pay you less than everybody else, but you might get, like, Calais will be employed.
So I guess my point on the edge rushing group, no matter what they do at this point, I don't know how it's going to work.
No.
Like, they're going to have Jimmy Lake in the lakefront.
Gin it up.
They're going to have to.
Which, you okay, but so now you're going to hang out your corners.
Yes.
And, but you did spend the 8th or the 43rd, or one of your two third-rounders you spent on a corner.
No, they didn't. No, they went D-line heavy, but no corner. I'll give Ryan Nielsen credit. They came up with some stuff to get quarterbacks at least on the ground enough. It wasn't as good as a lot.
How did you not take a corner?
Stop yelling. It wasn't as good as a lot of other teams who sacked the quarterback regularly. For us, last year was a good sack year. All right, so let's move on from the edges. We all say you could use an upgraded safety over Richie Grant. I don't know if the Falcons agree. They might look at Richie next to Jesse and think it's okay, but old Jamal Adams is out there. Quandre Diggs is out there. Justin Simmons is out there. Those are your options. All right. Here are your corners. Xavien Howard's still out there. He got hurt last year, but he's an elite when he's healthy corner. Yep. Stephon Gilmore, older corner. Steven Nelson, Adoree Jackson, Avante Maddox. None of those are, oh my gosh, we got him, but they're better than what you have right now on the outside. Because on the outside, the Falcons today would look at Mike Hughes or
Okuda,
Clark Phillips, or they'd look at D. Alford and say, you're my starter.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying, like, from last year. That's who they rolled out there every single week, and they did not upgrade.
No. All right, so you want wide receiver depth? You want one more? Probably need one more.
Sure.
Yeah. Tyler Boyd's out there. That's probably too rich. DJ Chark seems like he's out there now every year. You want speed? There's DJ Chark. Michael Gallup is broken.
He got signed, I think.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he got signed by somebody.
Well, cross him off your list then. Michael Thomas?
No.
The king of the slant? That doesn't do anything for you? How about Hunter Renfro, the picture of the possession receiver? I could deal with Hunter Renfro. I could deal with that. Scotty Miller and steroids.
Uh-huh.
And then who was released by the Jags today?
Zay Jones was released.
Because the draft pick. Yeah.
Okay. So that's what is left on the free agent
market. None of that's
impactful.
All of that is, none of that's Darnell Moody.
It's better than what you have in some cases, though. I want you to think about this. So when you guys hear the national media tell you, stacked Falcon roster, projected to win the NFC South, I'm hoping they're right. This is not a stacked roster. This is a depleted defensive roster. This is an improved offense because the quarterback will be functional. But to think this should be the favorite in the NFC South, I don't see it.
Okay, believe me, they have done plenty in Flowery Branch to earn the Brickbats. I'm going to give them credit. They're mid-level to even cheap-ish signings. Like, I don't think you win the Super Bowl because Mac Hollins, you sign him for nothing and he actually overproduces. But Mac Hollins was kind of okay. Yeah. CP was a hell of a signing. Like, they're mid to lower level that you have to have a bunch of and populate your roster. They've earned the pinata, okay? Like, smack them. They've done so many things up there, but they have gotten some things right as well. And so they've been okay at that level. So what I'm saying is I'm surprised, like, is there a Van Jefferson? Is there a Mac Hollins? Is there a cheap guy that's still going
to
come in?
Could be. I mean, that's certainly in somebody with a relationship to either Zach
John
Robinson.
John last year, you know, and that was pricey a little bit. But.
Well, he traded to get him, but he had some money on his deal. Yeah. All right, coming up in 5 minutes, Raheem Morris had a very important message for our very own Buck Ballou.
Who, me?
Yes, you, Buck. I'll let you hear Raheem's message coming up in a moment. But first, the worst result from baseball's useless metric was on full display last night. Clouds, get ready. Chuck is about to yell at you.
Yeah, if you stayed up. Here is the goal, all right? And I just want to state this first. The goal is to win the Major League Baseball game. Virtually all of Major League Baseball, though, has confused an approach. Let's keep the pitchers healthy. As an outcome, like keeping your pitcher healthy, that's not an outcome. That's something you do so you get the outcome of winning the ball game. When I say the worst result from baseball's most useless metric, that is the third time through sort of thing. Why the F is Freed coming out? He's 30. He's strong. He's a grown man. He's making his sixth start of the season. So even that ish about the first couple times through, we don't want to stretch him out. When exactly will you give him some rope if not for a 30-year-old grown man with a long resume who's making his sixth start a month into the season? And by the way, what was he doing for 6 weeks in Florida? How does it take 6 weeks to get a guy ready to throw 5 1/3? And now a month into the season? Okay, we can stretch him out to 100 pitches. I mean, my gosh, how lucky was Don Larsen that Bill James was only like 7 years old in 1956?
For those who don't know, Don Larsen was a pitcher from 70 years ago, and Bill James was a sabermetric guy. Continue.
So the giant issue here with third time through the order, because you look at it and first time through, they hit 211. Second time through, they hit 227. The third time through, they hit like 388. The giant issue with third time through the order being the justification for yanking somebody out is it treats all starts equally. And baseball reality is a starting pitcher, he's going to get 30 starts. Like 5 of the 30 may be at the top of his personal level where the guys in the bullpen go, we're not pitching tonight, this guy's on. Like 5 of those. And then there's one start where he's better than he is. And that's where you get a no-hitter. That's where Lynn Barker, if you don't remember, 40, he's
that's
like
a picture from 40 years ago.
Had a perfect game, and he was a Braves pitcher.
Yeah. Well, he did it for the Cleveland Indians, but yeah.
Whenever you have something like that, a David Cohn, when you have a David Wells, when you have anybody who go Roy Halladay, even I'm trying to give like all time guys that go to the Hall of Fame and have Cy Youngs, even they have one night a year where they look around and go, okay, I'm better than I am tonight. And baseball metrics require that all starts be lumped in together so you don't get to differentiate one start from another and single out last night for Max Fried. This is the start where the reason that the third time through the order, the batting average isn't 510, it's only 388, is because tonight he's getting everybody out on 11 pitches. Mm-hmm. So it's silliness. It absolutely is.
Are you good now?
No.
Are you better? I want you to be better because I didn't see Snit post game and I have no. I went to bed. Did Snit address it? Did somebody ask him? Because I don't know. Was it a Max thing, a Snit thing? Because remember, he pitched 9 the start before.
All I heard was the TV commentary, and I'm not calling anybody out. You have to agree with Snit because, and the word was, and I sent myself a text message.
Why didn't you just use your notepad?
I don't think I have that. I haven't downloaded that.
You have it.
Okay, keep going. No. You're on a roll.
Is the word on the TV was. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to roll the dice. I'm like, he's at 100 pitches. We're rolling the dice. You don't want to roll the dice. What? When the hell did Max Fried, grown-ass man, throw in 101 pitches? That's rolling the dice?
Are you done now? I want you to be better because I can always count a few annuals for Chuck. Jersey switches, somewhere I'll get them. A A dugout celebration will get him, and the 100-pitch thing will get him. Are you good?
You're not.
This would be like you screaming at the speed limit's 45. I agree with you. What do you? I don't know what to say. Should Max have come back out? Yes. Okay, you're right.
All right, thank you. No, I want it to change. Snit to say, yeah, and next time we'll do that.
Now, for what it's worth, they did have five straight starts that pitched into the seventh inning. Now, I don't remember what the pitch count on each guy was, but there is something to be at least we should at least pay attention to that.
Okay.
Sale's done it twice. I think Morton did it. Elder did it, and then Morton had one, and then the Max complete game.
I'm sitting there last night thinking, October in Philadelphia, he wouldn't take Bryce out.
Mm-hmm.
But now, no, you got to come out right now.
That was your callback to Bryce in the third inning of that game.
Let him stay.
You're like one of these maniacs I read on social media who were just off their rocker last night over a April baseball
game. Chuck yells at clouds.
I'm not angry they lost a game. That's how baseball go.
Right.
Like you play 162, it's going to happen.
Right.
It's this one thing.
Okay,
like,
I know. I got you. You're right. Everybody stay in your car. Chuck's right.
My God, 100 pitches.
You're right.
Bubble wrap.
Okay. We'll probably, guys, by about June 10th, we'll get another one of these. So just be prepared. It's probably coming.
Max isn't available for post game. He's getting a rub down right now.
I thought you were going to say something else there for a minute. I was a little concerned. Can I play you a piece of audio from Raheem Morris? He was doing his last presser of the draft on Saturday. And I think he was talking to Buck Ballou specifically. And he brought this up in the midst of like another answer from Terry Fondo. Take a listen to Raheem talking about what the Falcons did.
And we did draft a Georgia Bulldog last, guys. Since nobody wants to acknowledge that, I mean, let's
love,
go.
No love, man. Big dude. We like taking players from Bama. We took one last year, and that worked out pretty good.
Bama.
Georgia, too, right? We like taking players from Georgia, too.
It's become a thing they laugh at up there. So what you just heard was two clips put together. The first one was Raheem out of nowhere going, you guys don't want to mention we took a Georgia player. They took Zion Logan in the sixth round. Then there was a question about Jace McClellan that in the middle of it, Terry and Raheem were like, hey, we like Georgia players too. They've heard it. They've acknowledged it. They laugh at it. And it still doesn't mean it's a real thing.
Raheem, stop.
I wish they would have taken Jalen Carter over Bijan Robinson a year ago. But I guarantee you when it came down to loggerheads, they weren't like, Jalen went to Georgia, so we're going to take Bijan. He was even on every other front. It still remains coincidence. It'll always be coincidence. It'll all be anecdotal, your evidence that they don't like Georgia players. It remains the dumbest thing ever because when they do take one, we get mad that they take Justin Schaefer instead of taking another offensive lineman like Jamari Sawyer. Or when they take Zion Lowe, you go, well, you took him in the sixth round. You got to take him higher.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain like there's a Saints and they don't take LSU players.
That one's big there. Yeah. This happens everywhere. I remember when we were in Chicago hearing about they don't take Illinois or Northwestern players. Like, there's this thing wherever your NFL team is that you should take.
The Cowboys never draft Rice players, and they're like, well, you suck. So
I don't think they say you suck. But the point is, they laugh at this up there. Like, this is a talking point of like, oh, okay, we're going to acknowledge this here. We're going to make fun of it for a minute. They don't laugh that hard. It's not that funny. Okay, maybe that hard they do. Maybe they laugh that. Yeah, that could be the case. But Raheem wanted to make it clear. Y'all ain't asked me about the Georgia guy we took. Where is that question? Because I'm thinking they only took Zion Lowe because he went to Georgia. How come that narrative's never put out there? They took a six-rounder just because he went to Georgia.
And they love Bama, too, and Georgia. And Bama and Georgia.
Well, that was the best part about it. Play the second. Can you play that second half of that? So somebody specifically asked about McClellan. There was no talk of Georgia. It was just about Jace McClellan. And in the middle of it, Terry's like, we took a Bama player, and we kind of like Bama. And then Raheem was like, and Georgia. We want to make sure you understand what this is.
We like taking players from Bama. We took one last year, and that worked out pretty good.
Bama.
Georgia, too, right? We like taking players from Georgia, too.
The fact that they have to acknowledge it remains the dumbest thing ever, that people are still so bothered by this.
Bama.
I don't like the way he said Bama.
Bama.
You heard that? It was a little too loving for Raheem Morris, the way he said Bama. He didn't say Georgia the same way. Did Buck play that on the Buck Ballou Show 10 to 11 weekday afternoons?
No, he had some comments, though, when we were outside cutting it.
Oh, really?
Sixth round doesn't count.
I told you. That's the response. Sixth round doesn't count unless you get to pick right. Because in the Chargers locker room, they're like, we got Jamari Sawyer in the sixth round. He's turned into a stud. So they took a dog. All right, coming up next, today's Falcons headline was predictable. And unfortunately, so is the next one. We got next day's paper for you. We'll share it next. We'll be right back. Chuck and Chertoff on the FAN. Thanks for spending your Tuesday right here with us.
Hey, I'm Chuck. He's Chertoff. We're Chuck and Chertoff in the afternoons.
That's right. Everything you said is right. We're on afternoons 2 to 6 after Cellini and Domino 11 to 2. They're on after Buck Ballou does the
Buck Ballou. I'm Buck Ballou, and this is the Buck Ballou Show.
Why am I even here? I don't even need to be here. Buck Ballou Show 10 to 11. And then the locker room. Play off 17 of their voices, 6 to 10.
John Michaels, introduce yourself to
us. I'm John Michaels. I have lived here since 1998.
My name is Joseph Hamilton.
I'm a Yellow Jacket.
They take roll in the morning?
I am Brian Finneran.
Here I am, talking sports on the radio.
Wow.
You're doing a much better job today.
Awesome. I feel like we left somebody out there, though, no? I don't think we covered everybody. Anyway, that's the full lineup of fun here at The Fan. Chuck, good news for you. Cinco de Mayo, it's almost here.
Fun.
And regardless of how you plan to celebrate, make sure you do it with Corona Extra. You can join 680 The Fan and Corona Extra 4 to 6 p.m. Thursday, May 2nd at Racetrack at 510 Peachtree Parkway in Cumming.
Say Yama Gloria.
Nothing says Cinco fun like our friends with Corona Extra. You can also see 680 and Corona Extra Friday, May 3rd at Racetrack at 2550 Spring Road in Smyrna. While we're there, we're going to be registering folks for a chance to win some great prizes like a Corona Beach Cruiser bike, Modelo skateboard, Pacifico snowboard. You can see all the details at 680thefan.com/racetrack. It's all from The Fan, Corona Extra, and along with the great folks at Racetrack, whatever gets you going. You must be 21 or older to enter to win. So today's Falcons headline was predictable. Chuck thinks, unfortunately, so is the next one.
Today's headline, Atlanta exercises fifth-year option on Pitts. And it's cheap. It's like 10-point whatever, and he can be productive, and it gives Terry another year to be right. So instead of having one chance to be right, he wants two, and it doesn't cost you, so go ahead. They're exercising. You knew that was coming. Here is the future Falcon headline, though. Pitts to be free agent after Falcons decline extension. The real measuring stick for Kyle comes when he either does or does not get a second contract offer from the team. And, Matt, it has been sketchy on that front. AJ's going in his final season, the activated fifth year of his rookie deal. No second contract yet. Caleb McGarry, this doesn't count because a first-round pick, offensive tackle, playing out his rookie deal and then agreeing to a three-year, $34 million contract, folks, that ain't a second contract for a first-round offensive tackle. It's just not. Not at the level of we drafted you and we're happy. That's like David Bakhtiari, okay? That's like he's getting $25 million a year. That's when you're happy and you give a second contract to an offensive lineman. Here are the Falcons, man. McGarry, that's not even close to a second contract. Chris Lindstrom, he got one. He got broke off, highest paid in the game. So keep Chris Lindstrom in mind. We're going back a decade. Calvin, they probably would have, but they didn't. Tack, no. Keanu Neal, no. Vic, holy ish, no. They gave him a one-year bait, and he just took the money and didn't do anything. Matt, the franchise's record with their first-round picks the past decade is alarming. And of the first three on Terry's watch, Kyle's not getting the $20 million per season second contract. That's not happening. I don't think Drake's getting that. He is not trending after two seasons to look at Drake and go, all right, got to break him off like A.J. Brown. No, that's not really what that is. Bijan may not even because almost always an NFL team is going to grind the position. So there is a chance that right now the past three first-round picks you can realistically project, none of them get a second contract. I can't live in an NFL world where the local team has signed one of its past 10 first-round picks to a real-life second contract. That can't be reality except Falcons.
So let's think about this. When Penix takes over, theoretically, it'll be 2026. If they wanted to, they could afford to overpay some people at that point still because you'll have two cheap years for your quarterback. So in the right circumstance, if Kyle balled out, they could pay Kyle. I don't know what the going rate will be for him. If Drake played really well, they could pay Drake. The Bijan thing's tricky only because the running back
people
breakdown
break
factor.
Off, yeah.
Yeah, but if you wanted to, you could give him a one-year franchise if you want to do that. Like, that's the only saving grace that Kirk will be off the books. You can't have three expensive offensive pieces and expensive quarterback. You just can't pull that
Kirk
off.
Kirk will be off the books for the 26th season if you spend like $32 million to make it happen.
So, no, they'll be able to split his dead cap into 12 and a half. So they pay 12 and a half post June 1st, which is not a bad dead cap for most quarterbacks at all. And then you'll do the second half of the money in the following year.
So not free, though.
It's not free, but for $12.5 million, and you'll get a bunch of cap relief from Kirk, too. So I don't know what's going to happen with Kyle, but he's going to have every chance now. He's going to have 2 years of Kirk. He's going to get an offensive coordinator who's from the Sean McVay system. If it doesn't work for these 2 years, it would theoretically never work. Like, he's in a great position. So is Drake, and so is Bijan now, that they have a competent quarterback to, I won't even say have success. I'm going to say put up numbers. Because they have Kirk, they should put up numbers.
Drake, to me, here's what I think about Drake London. He works hard. He shows up. He plays. He busts his ass. And he's been very productive. What about that sounds like Jalen Waddle or Cheetah?
I don't know if it sounds like Jalen, but Drake is very good.
Exactly. But is that $25 million a year?
No. Why does it have to be 25, though?
Because that's what a second contract, that's what a receiver says. I want my second deal, and it's $25 million.
Sure. And then the team comes back and goes, we like you a lot, Drake, and here's $18
million. AJ just got, what, 96 for three?
Well, he's a different player, though. Like, he's not up to that level.
Okay, but that's what it's supposed to be.
Well, it doesn't always have to be that way. Or you'd like it to be, but it doesn't always turn out that way. I think we're going to have a much better look at Drake, again, with competent quarterback play. Like, don't you at some point
agree?
You have to have some sympathy. As much as I'm on Kyle and Drake, and more Kyle, because of sometimes it looks like he's not busting it the way we think he should, and we haven't seen the special out of Kyle. Their three quarterbacks in their 2 years here have been some combo, and Kyle had Matt for the first year, but the last 2 years have been Mariota, Ritter, and Heinicke.
Awful.
And Heinicke. I mean, that's miserable.
Give Drake credit. He has been a productive, especially as a rookie, and that didn't happen for a lot of receivers. He's been really productive with hard quarterback play, but it looks like there's a ceiling with him, and it's kind of a hard ceiling.
I did the Tampa game. I was at the Tampa game. What he did that day made me think there's a lot of special there under the right circumstances. He had that stupid catch down the sideline where he just went up and yanked away, and whatever that game was, 170 yards or something. He just never got the opportunities. Like, you want to see Drake get 9 or 10 or 11 throws to him a game. Just never had that. So we'll see what it looks like with Kirk coming in. Have we started to pay attention to the bad press that The Rock is getting? Yeah, it's a thing that's happening.
No.
Yeah, on the set of The Red One, his new movie, apparently he has cost the production company somewhere around $50 million is the word. He has been showing up 7 to 8 hours late regularly to the set. At one point, he missed an entire day, and then the next week missed another entire day. He's missed multiple entire days of production. And he's made a habit of peeing into water bottles to try to make up for the time because he's been so late instead of walking off set to go to the bathroom.
That's not why he's peeing into water bottles.
He is trying to lighten the mood.
Yeah. Is that lighten the mood?
I don't know.
I feel like
he's trying to send a message that, no, I'm The Rock, and we'll do this at my schedule.
In 2024, whipping it out and peeing into a bottle is probably not the funniest thing. Like, this isn't 1984. Usually that's going to get some kind of HR violation on a set.
Because in 1984, it brought down the house.
Oh, it did? We didn't know better.
There's the wee-wee. If you would have kept talking, that would have... If you would have kept talking, that's on you.
That's on me. For there goes the wee-wee.
That's you.
Do you think anybody's ever referred to The Rock as the wee-wee? I don't think that's a thing that's happened with The Rock.
It's no wee.
And now we're both going to stop talking.
Do you guys want to do this? This is what we're going to do. I was trying to give you a real news story on The Rock, and he's being late, and he's peeing in the bottles, and you guys are sophomoric humor. Fine. We're done with our discussion on The Rock. We'll see what ends up happening, but not going well for Dwayne Johnson, at least in the PR world. He's never had bad PR. Here's some bad PR for him, finally. All right, coming up, the Braves need a win tonight to avoid a social media meltdown.
Unfollow at Real Matt Atlanta.
Don't do that. That's not nice. And then turn right back around and follow me again. And two NFL insiders, not one, but two, aren't buying what the Falcons are selling.
Well, we're going to throw that one out.
We'll let you hear it next.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business. And it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere.
From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.